We're going to take a look at the ecclesiastical model employed by much of American evangelicalism today, especially as put forward by the seeker-driven movement.
Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We're going to take a look at where this idea of a vision-casting leader comes from, what its main tenets are, and we're going to compare that so-called ecclesiastical office to the biblical office of pastor, to see if the two are actually synonymous and interchangeable, or if this concept of a vision-casting leader actually turns a pastor into a false prophet.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case against vision-casting leaders in the church June 19th and 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
I actually don't know why they treat abortion like a sacrament. They really think it is an important thing to have the right to kill unborn children.
That's the future of a Christianity that wants to jump in the grave. There is absolutely no evidence that this has ever done any good.
The church is a hospice. It's not a hospital trying to make us better. It's not a school trying to teach us. It's a hospice that's trying to prepare us to die.
We don't live in what I call healthy, holy pride. Adam was proud in the Garden of Eden when he was kicked out and he walked in shame.
The idea that religions can just be nudged and altered along by the power of the state is an astoundingly stupid statement.
In about 45 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. That's five soundbites we've got lined up for you on this Friday afternoon. We'll play them for you in their entirety. You heard just a taste of them right there. And then after you've heard all five, you get a chance to give us a call, send us an email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. It's your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad. And that goes to the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week live this Friday afternoon, April the 10th, coming up in about 45 minutes. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to be looking at some Easter sermons preached by evangelical pastors. Chris Roseborough joins us. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Your bread and butter is sermon review, what you do on your program week in and week out, day after day. You do a lot of sermon reviews. Is there a general kind of theme or idea that seems to be in common that emerges from all of the sermons that you review from Pop American Christianity?
Funny enough, there is. And I would say this common theme, it doesn't matter in evangelicalism if the church is generally conservative or liberal. Both of them actually work from the same premise, and it's a weird premise, and that is that ultimately the Bible is some kind of manual for your life, and it's technically all about you. So I guess a good way to put it is if you know somebody who's a seamstress or who knows how to actually sew and make clothing, what they'll do is, they'll go to Walmart or they'll go to, a shop and they'll buy a pattern. And, from that pattern, they're able to make, clothing for their life. And so what happens is that the Bible in the hands of people who have this idea is that it shows patterns, it shows recipes, if you would, that as you look across your life, if you look at the circumstances that you're going through, you go and you find the same kind of pattern that occurred in one of the biblical characters' life, and it doesn't matter if it's Jesus. No, Jesus is actually kind of like the ultimate example, the ultimate pattern for us to follow, and so you can see how things played out in that pattern in their life, and when you see those patterns occurring in your life, then the idea is that then you can see some kind of promise in those patterns that are going to see you through so that you can come out victorious the way all of the Bible characters came out victorious. It doesn't matter if it's Daniel or David or Gideon or Jesus. You just look at all of these patterns, and then that's the pattern that's supposed to play out in your life. So it's always about finding yourself in the biblical text in one sense or another.
Well, maybe the first example of this comes with our first cut that comes from Stephen Furtick. Who is this again, and what should we be listening for in this little excerpt from an Easter sermon?
Sure. Stephen Furtick is the vision casting leader at Elevation Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. It's one of the fastest growing churches in the United States. And Stephen Furtick, we've actually done quite a bit on my program regarding him, but I like to say that there isn't a biblical text that Stephen Furtick will not make about himself. Every text, including all of the explicit ones about Jesus, ultimately he makes them about himself.
The angel appeared to the women at the tomb and said, "Hey, don't be alarmed. Why are you so shocked?" See, because they got there and Jesus' body wasn't in the place where they had visited it before. And they came to do some little rituals, some preparations. And the angel said, "Don't be alarmed." In other words, why are you shocked? He predicted this. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified, past tense. He has risen, past tense. He is not here, present tense. See the place where they laid him. I could preach a whole Easter sermon on why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? Why you keep going to dead places looking for new life? Why you keep going to same relationships thinking it's going to satisfy you when you know it always lets you down? Why you keep going to the same sins thinking this time that it's going to fulfill you? Go tell Peter that my prediction came to pass. And God sent me today to tell the one who has fallen away that he's waiting for you in the place of your next step toward him. That he's waiting for you. His cross was a symbol of defeat. But to those who remember, wait a minute, he promised he was going to the cross. But he also promised he was going to get up from the grave. So the cross is no longer a symbol of defeat. What is it? It's a prediction of victory. So, if there's a cross in your life today, it's pointing to a crown. Whatever you're going through today is pointing toward a future that has a hope that God already knows about, that he prepared for you.
All right, Chris, we've got about a minute before we take a break here with you. What was Stephen Furtick doing there?
I call it narcissus. He's narcissistically reading himself into the biblical text. And the idea here is he allegorizes all of the details of the biblical story and then starts to make it into some kind of pattern that predicts, you know, some great outcome in your life. And the quintessential one there is at the end, where he takes the cross of Jesus and says, if you're going through a cross in your life, it's pointing to, you know, a resurrection and a crown for you. There's a great future for you ahead that God knows about. And this is to completely miss the entire point of the biblical text. And I would point out, it doesn't matter if this is what you're doing with the Bible. It doesn't matter if Jesus actually bodily rose. This is just turning it into Aesop's fables. There's some kind of moral or principle that you're supposed to apply to your life in order to get you to a better outcome. This is not what what the historical narratives of the Bible are about or what they're for.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're doing This Week in Pop American Christianity live this Friday, April the 10th, going through some snippets of Easter sermons preached by evangelical pastors. Chris is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. When we come back, we'll have a couple more examples of this narcissus. Actually, an example of a pastor telling you that we don't believe the Bible, we believe the people who wrote the Bible. That seems like a rather odd distinction to make. We'll figure that one out with Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, right after this.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Chris Rosebro is our guest, our weekly series with him that we hold on Fridays. This Week in Pop American Christianity, a little review of what's been going on in Pop American Christianity. We're looking at some sermons preached by evangelical pastors, some famous ones out there with Chris Rosebro of Fighting for the Faith. So to pick up on the cut that we heard before from Stephen Furtick of Elevation Church, essentially, what is the message that his people are getting on Easter Sunday from their pastor?
Well, I think a good way to put it is they're getting a different gospel. If you think about it, what Stephen Furtick is doing is he's trying to offer them some kind of hope. And, you know, people oftentimes go to church, they're looking for a solution to the problem that they have in their life. Their lives are broken, they're broken, they know that things aren't right. And so, in some sense, people show up to church in order to get some kind of message of hope. But rather than saying, listen, the hope that we have is in our crucified and risen Savior for the forgiveness of sins, that we, because of what Christ has done, we have a right standing and a right relationship with Him. And so, and rather than calling people to repent and to be forgiven of their sins, instead what Stephen Furtick and people like him tell people is that, listen, it's all going to be all right. God has this amazing future for you, because everybody knows that we're more than conquerors in Christ, that you are the apple of God's eye, that, you know, and this is the way they're talking, and that He has planned for you so much greater than you can possibly think or imagine. And so the dark moments that you're going through right now, eventually the clouds are going to part, and you're going to see this amazing future that God has been preparing for you the whole time, and He's been preparing you for. But see, that's a different gospel. That's a different good news than the good news that we as Christians are called to proclaim. And it's always kind of focusing on the temporary, the here and the now, the imminent rather than the eternal. And so what this does is it blurs people's vision, so they're not clearly seeing the true hope and the true promises of Scripture. Instead, they're being fed different promises and many promises that are not there, and being assured that everything is okay, everything's going to be all right, but they're not being told to repent, to be forgiven, to trust in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, and they're not being told the real gospel. And instead, they're being taught to basically read themselves into the Scripture and to look for hope by looking at all of the little vignettes within the Bible where things eventually turn out for people who have had to go through difficult times, and see these things are going to turn out for you well, because that's really the good news of Scripture, when in fact that is not the good news of Scripture. And things ultimately in this temporal lifetime are going to turn very badly for you, so bad that eventually they're going to take your corpse and stick you 6 feet under the ground. And so, unfortunately, because of the way these people preach and teach, they're filling people's heads with false hopes, false promises, rather than pointing them to the true promises of Scripture in the historical narratives and the historical deeds done by Christ all for us.
The next bit of Easter preaching we're going to hear comes from Ronnie Rowe of Mariners Church in Irvine, California. Who is this, and what are we going to be listening for?
Ronnie is one of the newer guys out at Mariners Church. Mariners Church has been around for a long time. In fact, when I was at Christ College Irvine, Mariners was an up-and-coming megachurch. And we're going to hear him do something very similar, almost identical to what Stephen Furtick did. And the reason I put it in the mix is because he's going to allegorize this living, why are you looking for the, living among the dead? And his allegory is going to say different things than Stephen Furtick, which kind of begs the question is that what then is the true meaning of this text, if it can mean this or that? We'll let Ronnie explain.
The angel said this: if we want to feel alive, then why do you look for the living among the dead? Why? Why do we as people look for the living among the dead? You see, Mary was a devoted follower of Jesus. All of the disciples were devoted followers of Jesus. They witnessed, they saw the miracles. In fact, the story tells us that in the morning when she gathered up all the spices, she was going to the tomb to actually do what you're supposed to do with a body that has been buried. You're supposed to wrap it in spices and rewrap the cloth, because what happens to dead decaying flesh? begins to smell, right? And so Mary, who was a follower of Jesus and saw the miracles and witnessed everything, still did not believe that Jesus was going to be risen from the dead. You see, you can be a devoted follower of Jesus and still expect the dead Jesus. This is where Mary finds herself. A believer in who Jesus was, but then in the morning, just going to find and expect the dead Jesus. What does that look like today for you? For some of us, it's, well, God's never going to answer that prayer. God's never going to give me a spouse. God's never going to give me the job that I'm looking for. God's never going to get me the car or the house. God's never going to give me the friends. So why do we hold on? Why do we search for the living among the dead? What practices today are you holding on to that are dead? What things are you hoping will give you life, but simply aren't delivering on their promise? As you think about your life and where you're going and your trajectory and where you're heading, what are the things that you're looking for life and not finding it? So why do we look for the living among the dead?
All right, Chris, that was a whole different tone that we got from Stephen Furtick, but he was essentially doing the same thing, wasn't he?
Same technique, I'm going to kind of basically point something out here. Do you think, I'll put this in a question format, do you think that the reason why the angel on the resurrection day of Christ, this historically actually took place, you could have gone back in time with a camera crew, I'm sure Simcha Yakubovich would have been surprised if he had been able to do that, and you can see the angel sitting there asking the question, why do you look for the living among the dead? And do you think that the reason why that the angel asked that question of these women was so that we can examine our lives and ask ourselves this question, what things am I doing that are the same? Where in my life is dead that I'm looking for when I should be looking for the living? I mean, it's just preposterous. It's like grammatically, historically, exegetically, hermeneutically criminal to do this, because that's not why the angel asked the question. That has nothing to do with you looking for dead things in your life or finding the dead things in your life because you're supposed to be looking for the living. I mean, it doesn't even make any sense when you start to push on it. Yet this is what passes as biblical preaching today, and this has nothing to do with what the angel was really referring to in that moment when he asked those women this question. The reason why the angel asked the question, why are you looking for the living among the dead, is very simple. Because Jesus said that he was going to rise again on the third day after he was betrayed and crucified, and it's now the third day. He said he was going to be alive. Why are you looking for him here? That's the point of the question. It has nothing to do with looking for dead things in your life. So the idea, and by the way, another common theme, you'll hear this in a lot of evangelical sermons, very similar to this, is they'll talk about the fact that the women came and they were wondering who will roll away the stone. And so they'll ask, no kidding, evangelical preachers will ask this question, so what stones need to be rolled away in your life? And it's bizarre. I mean, it shows that they, number one, don't know how to read. Number two, don't have any clue that what the Bible is about. The Bible isn't about you. It's about Jesus and what he's done for you. And when you read the Bible in this way, you're robbing people of the real assurance that we as Christians have by the fact that Jesus truly did conquer the grave and rose bodily just like he said he would. It vindicates him, shows his victory, and it shows us that those of us who are in him, we will be raised again when he returns in glory to judge the living and the dead. He's the first fruits of the new creation. There's so many good things that you can preach from the resurrection accounts, but these guys, by reading themselves into it, they make it impossible for themselves and even for their hearers to actually see what's going on in these texts.
And Chris, we're going to get to another example on the other side of the break, but I want your thoughts on this before we get to that. This is so pervasive, so common in evangelical preaching, this method of essentially allegorizing the text to be a parable about you so that Jesus' resurrection isn't the big thing. You are the big thing. Jesus' resurrection is just there to show you something about yourself. His crucifixion is there to show you something about yourself. This kind of preaching that you've been describing here and that we've been listening to is so pervasive. I imagine there are many Christians sitting in these churches who've never heard anything other than this. This is how they think the Bible is supposed to be preached.
Yeah, this is true. And I don't think you'd be surprised, because I know you get email from your program. But over the years, I mean, I have received literally so many emails, I can't even keep track of the thousands of emails we've received from people who said, I've never heard this before. And I couldn't, when you started pointing this out, I didn't believe that what you were saying was true. And then I went and looked in the Bible and found, oh, wow, I've been deceived. What you were saying, Pastor Roseborough, is absolutely correct. This text isn't about me, it's about Jesus. And they'll say things like, now that I know what the Bible is really saying, I have discovered that what the Bible says is so much better than what these people in evangelicalism who read themselves into the text are trying to make it say. And that's kind of the point. The Bible, what the Bible really says is truly good news, and it's so remarkable, so amazing, and it really does set people free that to finally hear what the Bible is about and who the Bible is about. It's such a radical change. It's literally like having scales fall off your eyes or receiving sight where the whole time you were blind. It's really that kind of thing.
Chris Roseborough is our guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. We're doing This Week in Pop American Christianity, Easter sermons preached by evangelical pastors. We've got one more example with a twist right after this.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while. To answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas; Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California; Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming; Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas; Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming; Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California; St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa; Redeemer Lutheran, Caquabeca Falls, Ontario, Canada; St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin; and St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Don't know why they treat abortion like a sacrament. They really think it is an important thing to have the right to kill unborn children.
That's the future of a Christianity that wants to jump in the grave. There is absolutely no evidence that this has ever done any good.
The church is a hospice. It's not a hospital trying to make us better. It's not a school trying to teach us. It's a hospice that's trying to prepare us to die.
We don't live in what I call healthy, holy pride. Adam was proud in the Garden of Eden. When he was kicked out and he walked in shame.
The idea that religions can just be nudged and altered along by the power of the state is an astoundingly stupid statement.
Just a taste of the five sound bites we've lined up for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, starting here in about 20 minutes on this Friday afternoon, April the 10th. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway on Rand Paul and why abortion is so important to the media. Rod Dreher is acceptance of gay marriage, the future of the church. Pastor David Peterson, should Christians be self-feeders? Dr. Robert Schuller from a 2005 interview with him, why not talk about sin? And Dr. Russell Moore's reaction to the New York Times saying that Christians need to be made to accept homosexuality. Those are the five sound bites we'll be playing for you. And your votes will determine which one is Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Simply give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send your vote to us via Twitter @IssuesETC, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote in advance. We've left space for you to do so. Facebook.com/IssuesETC, Facebook.com/IssuesETC. We want to know which one of those is your favorite soundbite and why. Also, if you're emailing or writing it in, all you need to do is tell us where you listen as well, your name and where you listen. 1-877-623-6943. Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're doing This Week in Pop American Christianity, Easter sermons preached by some evangelical pastors. What's up next here, Chris? Who are we going to hear from in this last little example of what we've been talking about?
The next one is from Andy Stanley from North Point Church out in the suburbs of Atlanta, Georgia. And this one's a very different one altogether. And on the one hand, he's affirming that Christ rose from the grave. But if you remember, a few weeks back, we did a segment on Andy Stanley where he was talking about his so-called temple model that Jesus supposedly came to abolish. And there's four things that are very bad about the temple model. And that would be sacred places, sacred texts, sacred men, and sincere followers. So sacred texts are one of those things that Andy Stanley is, basically down on. And so he makes a very weird distinction in his affirmation in the belief in the bodily resurrection of Jesus.
If this is your first time at one of our churches, or first time joining us online or watching on television, there's something you need to know about our churches when it comes to Easter. And this may come as a shock. Don't leave early, but this is something you need to know about us. And hopefully, if you ever become part of us, you decide to join one of our churches or become part of our family of people, then this will be true of you. But here's the thing. We do not believe Jesus rose from the dead because the Bible tells us so. We believe Jesus rose from the dead, but we don't believe he rose from the dead simply because the Bible tells us so. It is way, way better than that. The reason us adults in this room and churches and millions of people all over the world actually believe that Jesus rose from the dead is this. It's not because the Bible tells us so. It's so much better. It's because Matthew, an eyewitness of these events, believed it. Mark, who spent time with eyewitnesses, believed it. Luke, who says he thoroughly investigated all these events, believed it. John, who was an eyewitness, believed it. And then hang on to your hats. James, the brother of Jesus, believed that his brother was the Son of God and rose from the dead. And let me ask you a question. What would your brother have to do to convince you that he was the Son of God? And then there's this guy you've heard so much about, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul hated Christians, hated them. You've wanted to put your Christian neighbor in jail. He actually put Christians in jail, okay? He hated Christians. And then, within just a few years of the resurrection of Jesus, this man, the Apostle Paul, who was a Pharisee, who hated Christians, had Christians in prison, became a Jesus follower. So if you want to know why we take this seriously, if you want to know why it's not make-believe, it's not a made-up story, it's not something just to inspire us and to give us hope, the reason we believe it happened in history is because Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, James, the Apostle Paul, and others, but just those who were eyewitnesses and new eyewitnesses, wrote about it, said they believed, and here's what's great. As they wrote their accounts, and they gave those accounts to members of churches, and other members of churches took those and copied those, because I want to have one of those at home, and those circulated all around the Mediterranean rim. Over time, people began, and churches began to gather these letters, and gather these documents, and then once Christianity was legal, They brought all of these documents together and they bound them and eventually in what we call the New Testament. And then they took all those gathered documents of the New Testament and they associated it with and they bound it and published it with the Old Testament. And that's where we get our Bible. But we don't believe Jesus rose from the dead because the Bible tells us so. It's so much better than that. That's why we take the Easter story seriously.
Okay, first of all, does he have his history right on the formation of the New Testament canon?
Like, not even close. I mean, I can point you to the writings of church fathers, you know, at least 150 to 175 years before the Council of Nicaea, before Constantine, where they had already put together lists of what they believed to be canonical and apostolic documents that comprise the New Testament. So we've got a weird thing going on here. On the one hand, he's affirming Christ's bodily resurrection, but on the other hand, he's putting out a spurious history regarding the formation of the New Testament canon, and is, in a sense, by what he's saying, making it clear that, listen, you know, this idea of a sacred text, although he's not explicitly saying, he's kind of implying it, that's not why we believe the resurrection. You know, these are historical accounts, and we believe they're eyewitness testimony, but we need to make a distinction between historical accounts and a sacred Bible text. That's really what's going on here, and the reason I say that is because of what he said during his sermon series where he laid out what he calls the so-called temple model. So this was an outlier as far as evangelical sermons are concerned, because it on the one hand, it's affirming the historicity of Christ's resurrection while, in a sense, undermining the authority of Scripture as God's Word.
So he's driving a wedge between the eyewitness testimonies and the sacred Scriptures, and saying that somehow you can have one without really having a sacred text, without having a text that you need to, because he's on this jag about getting rid of sacred places, sacred texts, and all that kind of stuff. Because he's really talking here about the replacement for the sacred text is his vision, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. He's one of these vision casting leaders, right? There's something going on here. In fact, many people I've spoken with in the emails I've received from listeners, you know, basically say that he's kind of on the same track that we saw happening with a lot of guys in the emergent church, you know, back when they were starting to monkey with things in this kind of postmodern way, and that eventually led them into the liberal gutter where they end up embracing same-sex marriage and things like that. He's clearly trying to attack this idea of a sacred, binding, authoritative text, that has holy in front of it, the Holy Scriptures, and is instead saying, these are eyewitness accounts of people's encounters with the living Jesus within community, and that's why it's important for us. And the most important thing is that commandment Jesus said, as I have loved you, love one another. That's the thing that we're supposed to be all about, not about doctrines and sola scriptura and this idea that we have this sacred, binding, theological, doctrinal, book that has the authority of God behind it. No. But we do believe the history of Jesus rising from the dead. There's some. He's really on track. In a bad sense, he's on his way towards something, and he's kind of setting things up for the people in his church there. But I've seen this pattern before. You know, this is what Doug Padgett, Tony Jones, Brian McLaren, and Rob Bell all did early on, and now look where they're all at.
I mean, for those who aren't familiar with it, these are men who began by kind of making the community the ultimate arbiter of truth, although truth was always a moving target when it came to those guys. And they were all about asking questions, not coming to conclusions. They really had no time for propositional statements of Holy Scripture. And eventually, to a man, they have come to deny, at the very least, to deny the Scripture's authority.
Yes. And that's every one of them. Every one of them, you know, all wouldn't answer direct questions, weren't interested in propositional claims. They would say, come and have a conversation with us in community, and you can experience the truth in conversation with us, whatever that meant. I have no clue still what that's supposed to really mean. And Andy Stanley is engaging in the same kind of word games and obfuscation, and he's literally driving a wedge between this idea of somebody having an experience of the risen Christ and the authority of Scripture. The authority of a sacred text has got to go. He's made that very clear in recent sermons that he's preached, and so this it didn't surprise me when it showed up in his Easter sermon.
Couple final questions for you. We talked about how common this is. What happens when you're sitting at Stephen Furtick's church or Andy Stanley's church or any of the other churches, Ronnie Rose Church, and you're being told on Easter Sunday morning that all of this is kind of – all of these accounts here of Jesus' death and resurrection are kind of parables for your life, and that just like Jesus rose from the dead and everything turned out okay, then everything's going to get better for you even though you might have to, you know, occasionally go through some dark times. But it's going to turn out good for you because God has a wonderful plan for your life. What happens to the person who listens to that and then doesn't see those results?
Unfortunately, a lot of people who experience that kind of preaching, when life's inevitable, and it always is this case, inevitable, really dire circumstances show up, and God doesn't, you know, remove them from them, what'll end up happening is that they will jettison the Christian faith, or they'll feel guilt that maybe they're the ones doing something wrong. If only they try harder or believe more audaciously that somehow that'll prove to God that they're worthy of the miracle that they've been promised that never seems to show up. And what ends up happening is that they'll either despair, lose their faith, become atheists, angry ones at that, or, you know, or just kind of walk away from Christianity. And in a sense, then they've become perfectly inoculated against Christianity, even though they've never really been exposed to the biblical Christianity, sound doctrine, and the real gospel. And so we've seen this historically in Finney's burned over district. What this kind of preaching and the constant need to have all of these excitements end up doing is it creates, you know, this atmosphere when life's real difficult times show up. You know, it just proves Christianity's false. That your experience becomes greater than the preaching that's supposedly coming, and then you create this huge area where the real gospel probably won't take root for another 100 to 200 years while this has to work through the historical system.
Bottom line, what was missing from any Easter sermons preached by evangelical pastors this last Sunday?
Christ crucified and risen for you, for your sins, for your justification, and for your hope, and his victory over sin, death, and the devil. It's all about what he's truly done for you, and what's missing in all of this is the actual proclamation of the real gospel. Instead, this is a false gospel, a really cheap plastic banana gospel that full of platitudes, but that really has no promises attached to it. It's really sad.
What's on the docket tonight for Fighting for the Faith?
We'll be talking about Stephen Furtick as well as a liberal PCUSA pastor, and we'll be doing some listener email as well as play my Easter sermon from this past Sunday.
Folks, you can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith a half hour from now, right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. at piratechristianradio.com. It's all one word. piratechristianradio.com. Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He hosts the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to do a little Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Now, this game only works if you vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. So, first we're going to play the five soundbites for you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then you're part of the game that we play on Friday afternoons. You give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You send us an email with your vote. You just pick one and tell us why you're voting for that soundbite as soundbite of the week. Talkback at issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or go to our Facebook fan page. We already have space there left for you to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week that we will play on the other side of this break. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Why did Frederick III risk his realm of Saxony to protect Martin Luther and the developing reforms of the church? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is Frederick the Wise, Seen and Unseen Lives of Martin Luther's Protector. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Frederick the Wise by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Frederick the Wise.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The thing that really is wonderful is to be able to read them as the witnesses that they are to the saving gospel of Christ.
Pastor Will Whedon on his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for a Lutheran approach to the church fathers.
To deburden them from infallibility. Nobody believes they're infallible. Everybody agrees that there are things in them that they don't agree with. But the reading of the fathers itself can be a huge help and light. If people have walked the terrain you walked before and made a map, it might be worthwhile to consult it before you head out in the same terrain. And in that way, their work through the scriptures has been most beneficial to the church across time.
You can meet and hear Will Whedon June 19th and 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385.